Welcome, everybody, to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. This is a special season dedicated to the tribe of the mother. But also, I know any mothers listening will find this extremely valuable. I've created each episode to offer simple, digestible, and supportive information, which I hope will educate and inspire anyone who listens. So this is by popular demand. Please help us to educate and support the tribe holding the mother. Look forward to passionate and highly knowledgeable guests dedicated to reclaiming the essence of birth and embracing conscious parenting. Throughout our time together, our guests will serve as the guiding voices, illuminating the path towards a deeper understanding of preconception, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. This is with the mother and the baby being the center of the exploration. In the show notes, you'll discover the link to Nourished Mother Package, which will offer many different resources to complement each episode. This is free for all members in the women's circle or £33 for everybody who just wants to purchase the package. A heartfelt thank you to our incredible guests and immense gratitude to my partner for supporting me on this creation. And finally, last but not least, special thank you to Araya, my daughter, for being the endless well of inspiration. Welcome everybody to the Depth of Motherhood podcast. I'm your host, Danielle. Today we welcome Vicky Viola onto the show. She is a nutrition coach and a fertility awareness method educator. Vicky started her journey into health and wellness in 2017 and became a student of the Nutritional Coaching Institute. She continued her education to focus specifically on women's health. I've known Vicky for over a year now, and I absolutely admire her passion and her commitment for showing up and sharing this information. In this conversation, we're exploring nutrition that can support fertility, specifically in women. It's easy to have a list of ingredients and recipes, but our link to food runs so deep. For many of us, it is a very emotional connection tied with a lot of patterns and habits that need gentleness and time to unravel. And I feel that through education, through conscious support, we step into this place where we can begin to choose what is the most nourishing for us. But this really runs alongside noticing where we might be experiencing shame or guilt. And instead of punishing ourselves or believing that we cannot make these adaptations to our life, we can start to practice compassion and forgiveness and know that our bodies are absolutely incredible. And with this journey back to ourselves, back to remembering the language of our body, we can start to become very connected to our intuition. And our body will start to tell us what it needs. And I share my own personal story through pregnancy, where I got the most intense cravings for meat as I was a vegetarian. And it's a very fine line, because our body will crave different things depending on what we're giving it. So if we're giving it sugar all the time, the bacteria in our gut is going to start to crave the sugar, and it will guide our decisions to get that sugar. So there is this crossing over point when we step over the bridge and we recognize what our intuition really sounds like and feels like. The one that has our back and wants to deeply nourish us. And pregnancy and postpartum was actually the turning point for me to really deeply heal an eating disorder that I have, which I've spoken about before in different episodes and in our workshops. I had a real struggle with overeating. I would binge eat and then I would vomit. And actually something amazing happened during my pregnancy. Suddenly I realized I am depleted. I need to be nourished. And even though at times I felt really emotionally unstable because my life was about to change, and I felt myself wanting to go back to this habit of binge eating, which I hadn't used this coping mechanism for maybe 10 years, but I felt it, I heard it coming back, and I had this opportunity to choose. And I chose to nourish myself. And I know this isn't the case for everyone, but I just hope that these conversations offer some time, some space, and some support to really listen and to hold space for our habits, our patterns, our coping mechanisms. And even though it might be uncomfortable sometimes, to find that strength to choose what will nourish us in this moment so that we can continue to strengthen the foundations of our biology, which will then ripple out to all aspects of our life. I hope that this conversation serves you. And if you need further support, you can find all Vicky's information in the show notes. If you're interested in spending more time with me, I've left the link below as well so you can join the membership. Thank you so much for being here. Before we start, I just welcome you to take some movement that will open you up in your abdominal area. So take some deep breaths, lengthen through your spine, and let your breath come and surround your intestines, your stomach, your liver. Breathe into that space and let your exhale be that softening into your body to arrive here, to land, to receive this information. Thank you so much.
Buddy, today we welcome Vicky onto the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
I can't actually figure out when I last spoke to you, but it's definitely over a year ago. So what has been happening in your world over this last year? You've had a new arrival.
Yes. So I had a baby this past June. So she's about to be 9 months. So I'm almost at the 9 months in, 9 months out, which is so crazy. And took a little maternity break, not too long. And I've just been working and, you know, serving my clients as far as helping them get pregnant, helping them not get pregnant if they don't want to, you know, teaching the fertility awareness method and helping them with all of their fertility needs.
Oh, nice. And how do you feel that, or do you feel that your practice has evolved or transformed since giving birth? Have you noticed you're more inspired to go down one path with it, or you feel maybe more people are coming to you about a certain topic than before?
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely feel the pull to talk more in the fertility preconception space. I've just been really like getting a lot of clients in that world right now, which is just so refreshing. Like now having gone through it, my preconception journey wasn't super easy. So taking myself through that, now having gone through the full pregnancy and into postpartum, I like that whole cycle of things.
Yeah. And you pull out these gems when you go through pregnancy and you go through labor and you're in postpartum and you pull out these little gems and you bring them back to your community, and here you are sharing again. And it's so beautiful to sit with you. And I'm really looking forward to getting into this conversation because this is an area that I never got into. I really like to try to educate myself before I go into anything. And so I really got into like pregnancy, postpartum, all of that. But I never went into preconception because she was there. Hello, I'm pregnant. And then afterwards, I found it really interesting because as I read, one of my favorite books that I read is Awakening Fertility. And that really like opened my eyes to see like, oh, optimal fertility is just basic vibrancy in being a human being, right? So I just found that fascinating because then it helped me with my getting to know myself through my menstrual cycles as well. So I absolutely like loved that, and it makes perfect sense.
And it's just funny because I talk a lot about like what's an optimal menstrual cycle, and we can have optimal menstrual cycles, but the most optimal is getting pregnant, staying pregnant, having that live birth. So it absolutely is that like ultimate, you know, vibrancy, like you said.
So what are some foods that support fertility and which ones don't? Like, what are your go-to things that you would talk about if someone was saying, I really want to sort out my diet, I want to nourish myself, but I'm not really sure where to start. Where would you begin?
So I actually pull it back. And before we even talk about specific foods, the most important foundation is, are you eating enough to support your need? Because ovulation is such an energy demand on the body. Making hormones is an energy demand on the body. And so if you aren't giving yourself enough fuel, the body's not going to prioritize that. So starting there, really making sure you're eating enough to fuel yourself. But specific foods, it really doesn't have to be super complicated. I like to recommend a good variety of animal and plant foods. So getting those good quality animal proteins. And when I say good quality, I'm talking grass-fed meat, wild-caught seafood, pasture-raised, all of that, right? That part matters a lot. Eggs are probably like the most important. I call them like a cycle superfood. And I just think it's funny, right? Because we're talking about optimizing ovulation, right? An egg that literally gets released inside of our body. So think eggs for eggs. Yes. So eggs are great. Beef, you know, a lot of people try to villainize red meat, but beef is so vitamin and mineral rich. So that's a really great fertility food. Very high in zinc, which that's amazing when it comes to our cycle and our fertility. As far as other things go, you know, from a vegetable side of things, dark leafy greens are going to be amazing. They are full of B vitamins, and B vitamins are hugely important for preconception and then even in early pregnancy. So arugula, kale, bok choy, spinach, right? Like those dark leafy greens are great. Seafood, like I said, that's amazing. So salmon, cod, oysters, shellfish, that's going to get you a great variety. And then, you know, antioxidants are always going to be important, especially when it comes to egg quality. So that's going to look like really colorful things. So colorful fruits and vegetables, you know, cabbage, right? We get that like purple cabbage, carrots, cranberries, things that blueberries, right? Like those good colors. That's a nice, easy thing to think about. And then on the flip side, things that aren't so good for fertility, that's going to look like fried food, right? Like eating a lot of fried food that might not be cooked in a good quality oil, a lot of excess sugar, alcohol. And the reason why these things aren't great is because they're all just adding inflammation. And inflammation is not going to be good for egg quality.
I've got such a nice image in my head of what I want to eat, Leah. And it's not the fried foods section. If anyone's begin with a beer. No, it's the rainbow. So how long before, if we're thinking that, okay, I really would like to make sure that my body's in this optimal state, when would you say to start really like getting into our nutrition? Obviously, like today would be amazing, but when does it really affect the egg and the sperm quality?
So at a minimum, it takes roughly 100 days for the immature follicle to become the egg that gets ovulated. So let's say 3 months from now, you really want to get pregnant, start today, right? So almost thinking in those 3 month cycles. Same thing for sperm. Sperm is like 70 to 90 days that it takes to like create these new sperm. So I just like to blanket it as that 3 months. Even better though, give yourself 6 months. So take that time, two cycles worth, right, of this like longer process to really make those changes.
And I suppose that's also emotionally as well. If people are attached to certain foods, it might take more than 3 months to fully like get into a cycle where their body and their mind is fully receiving this new way of nourishing themselves as well, because it's so addictive, these processed and sugary foods.
Yeah. And that's something I want to touch on too. Like, my coaching philosophy is not about restriction in any way. Like, I'm not saying that you can't go out and celebrate your birthday and get some French fries. Like, that's okay. But as long as the majority of the foods that you're eating are supporting that good variety of animal proteins, fruits and veggies, that's going to be, you know, that's really going to move the needle, not just these like one-off situations where you have some drinks or you have some fried food.
Yeah, because then you're like sat with this feeling of guilt and then you have that causing inflammation in the body. So yeah, it'll be nice to go to you and be like, it's okay. Now let's get some of this down your neck. So what about a man's nutrition? Because I kind of, we're like hearing so much about what a woman can eat to support her through this time. And it's all over. It seems to, I mean, it's just what I'm seeing on social media. It's my social media, you know, what's being shown to me. And probably you see a lot different. But what is the, is there anything that a man could be, should be eating differently when it comes to supporting his health and the health of his sperm?
The good news is a lot of it is very similar. So like you cannot go wrong with getting that antioxidant rich food, right? On both sides, men and women. The only thing that's like the biggest difference that I see is women can benefit from having full fat dairy. Men benefit more from having low fat dairy. It's like the only, you know, biggest difference. Everything else, it's totally fine as far as like you're getting that good quality animal protein. Seafood is really great for sperm health. So same thing for female fertility. And then again, that good variety of plant foods as well.
Oh, that's good news. So you can both be like eating the same meal.
You know, change out your yogurt and your milk and this and that. Full fat for one, low fat for the other. But other than that,
what's all that about? Is that just because a woman's body requires more fat?
Yeah, a woman. Exactly. Like we require more fat to make hormones, whereas men don't need as much fat for that hormone production.
Oh, wow. And is there any supplements that you think are necessary, or do you move more towards the whole food?
I personally like the whole food approach first. I feel like that's always just like that good foundational level, because you can't out supplement a poor diet, to be honest. Like you really have to, and you can't out supplement not eating enough. Like I said, that's the most important foundation. However, there are definitely supplements that are going to be necessary. So in my coaching practice, I utilize HTMA, which stands for hair tissue mineral analysis. It's a functional test. You take some hair samples, you send it in, and it gives you back your whole mineral profile, which is really cool because minerals are just the foundation for everything that we do, all of our body systems. So when we are focusing on things like that, so if you know, you're really low in sodium and potassium, I might recommend that you start doing like specific electrolytes to bump up that sodium and potassium. So the supplement thing, I like to approach it as more of a targeted thing. There's not really a blanket supplement that everyone should take that's going to improve their fertility. It definitely has to be more of a one-on-one approach with that.
That's so interesting. And it makes me think about like nutritional deficiencies through our mother and through our grandmother. Yeah. On both sides. And like we're here Earthside, and we grow up and we have our babies, and we've kind of like, we have this history that we can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Do you feel that through making these shifts and like showing up for ourselves in this moment, we can actually make a difference in terms of our fertility, the quality of the egg and the sperm, and then continuing through to pregnancy?
Yeah, definitely. Because I just think like for females, the best example is like, you were inside of your grandmother, technically, because your grandmother had the egg that was ovulated that became your mother, and then your mother had you. Because we're born with all of the eggs that we're ever going to have. So that's just like so cool. I love thinking about that.
Blows
my
mind.
if we think about the fact that, you know, ideally we'll be grandmothers one day, right? The changes that we are making, we're taking that responsibility. So yes, I absolutely think you can make these changes that won't only benefit your fertility in the here and now, but then that down the line generations as well.
Mm. And it's really forgiving, I think, to hear this, because we can try our best. We can get this information. We can implement it. And still, there might be things that we need support with nutritionally, or we might notice it in ourselves, like if we notice in our teeth or something after we've given birth, because we've been low on certain nutrients. And it might not even be from this lifetime. It might be from what our mother or grandmother was deficient in. So it's like knowing that and holding that, and also doing what we can, being here in this moment with the information and the resources that we have as well.
Yeah. And it's just so crazy to even think, like, as I've been diving more into the mineral aspect of things, pregnancy and postpartum are so depleting. Like we lose so many minerals. Breastfeeding, right, requires a lot of mineral stores. So a lot of the time, women who are postpartum is crazy, right? Like you're not nourishing yourself the same way you were prior to having that baby. Then you get pregnant again. So it's like you might go into that second pregnancy more depleted than the first. So that's why I think preconception support, definitely important first time around, even more so important for your subsequent pregnancies and children.
Yeah, for sure. I actually was listening to, you know, Rochelle Garcia, she innate traditions. She was just, I was listening to something with her, and she was saying that there is more nutrients required in postpartum to feed the baby through breastfeeding than in pregnancy. And like you said, it's one of the things on the other side. It's all like, whoa, we have a new human and I've got to feed myself. What?
Yes, exactly. It's crazy.
That's why I think this time is like such a great time to practice that. Because once you get in a routine of like, you know, these certain meals, you know what they make you feel like, you know how to cook them, prepare them. It's just like second nature if you've been practicing. You get to the other side in postpartum and you're like, I know these meals offhand. Like, I don't even have to think about it or educate myself, which I think is, this is part of the, oh, hello you. This is part of it.
Exactly.
So is there anything that, is there a recipe, let's say everyone's who's listening to this is like really excited and super keen to like make shifts in their nutrition. And maybe tonight they want to make a nice meal for them and their partner. What is one meal or some different foods that you can put on a plate that looks nice that would really optimize fertility?
Sure. I'm going to keep it. I'm not even going to go like a full-blown meal, but I think a really great way to hide a lot of these fertility supportive foods is in a smoothie. And to me, that's just like a simple thing that you can just add in, not even as a meal replacement, but have that as a snack, like in the afternoon. And so my like go-to basic smoothie, I like to include blueberries. So that's going to give you that antioxidant profile. I put like some kind of dark leafy green in there. So spinach, beet greens. I love using beet greens because those are extremely high in potassium. I'll put some cacao powder in there to make it chocolatey, but also give some magnesium in there. Whole milk is going to give you that full fat dairy. I put chia seeds in there. That's going to give you these good omega-3s, protein powder to give you some protein in there. And then I like to throw a little almond butter in there as well for another healthy fat source. So just listening to that, and you can mix and match, right? Like you could do different fruits and things like that, but you're hitting so many fertility supportive things just in a blended up smoothie. So.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. With a little mint on top, a little bit of mint.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks like... So when I do my, I'll do my romantic meal tonight, I'll light my candle and then on the table, I'll place this fertility smoothie and I'll say, drink that, you'll enjoy it. And then we can get frisky.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, that's definitely not going to be a full meal, but like that's just a nice little easy thing that you can include in your day. And I say that because most women that I work with are not eating enough to support their needs. So it's like, if you just throw in something that's very nutrient dense in your afternoon as a little afternoon snack, perfect. I mean,
that's
as far
a great
as,
thing to put as well, because it's like, it's not a meal replacement. It's an additional, it's additional because of the lack of nutrients. Even if we're getting three meals a day, you know, like even if we're eating when we're hungry, it's still the food quality might not quite be there. So like by having what you've just described with all these nutrients in, wow, you get to have that in one cup and you can kind of let the nervous system rest and be like, I did that today. Like, I know I did that. It's great for my body.
Exactly. It's a nice, simple thing that's like a low stress effort, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And let's move on to that as well, because I think stress as a topic, because for many people, okay, for myself, food has always been something that is linked to my emotional needs. To be honest with you, I overcome a lot with my relationship with food after I gave birth, actually. Well, during pregnancy, I just let myself eat whatever I wanted. And this is what I was pulling in. It was just like second nature, just to eat the meat, like to eat, to have the dairy. Yeah. That was my life through pregnancy. Things totally shifted. And then in postpartum, I learned to trust my body more, to trust the signs when it was telling me it was hungry. And I started to trust the food more because I had real difficulties with eating food before that, thinking that I would put on weight or, you know, that I would look different. So it was a really interesting journey. And then on the other side, in postpartum, I got, you know, like I was tired, the whole postpartum thing. I was tired. I've got a new baby, having these emotions as my hormones come back into balance. And yeah, it was an interesting time because I felt the stress making me want to move towards overeating foods that would not be nourishing for me. And so I feel like a really cool link for this is to have the link with how we can calm our nervous system and come into a state that is less stressful so that we don't feel that we have to reach for these foods that can be highly addictive and really not so nourishing.
And it's just, there's so many layers to all of this because when we aren't sleeping, that's going to affect our hunger and our satiety hormones. So usually when you're not getting enough sleep, the next day you might find yourself craving more carbs. And it's just the body's natural process of like, we didn't get that restorative sleep. So now we need more energy, and carbs are the quickest preferred fuel source that our body can get. Again, all carbs are okay. There's carbs that are better than others, right? But so sometimes we might crave those more processed, quick carbs when we've had less sleep. And again, postpartum sleep is not happening. You're stressed because you're just like dealing with all the things. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I do agree though, like getting this in a good way before is going to make that postpartum experience so much easier and so much better. And it's funny you mentioned that about like craving things that you didn't typically eat before pregnancy, in pregnancy. It's because our bodies are smart. Like, you know, your iron needs go up immensely in that third trimester. So maybe if you're someone who didn't really eat a whole lot of red meat, you might find that you're craving red meat in the third trimester. And it's because your body's saying, I need that. And that's the quickest and best way to get that.
Oh, yeah, totally. I was craving ribs, you know, like really fatty ribs. And it was interesting because in pregnancy, I could control my craving. So I was still a vegetarian / vegan for like 4 months. But anyway, back to preconception. It's so easy for me to get like pulled into postpartum phase because I'm like, I'm there. So I'm like, oh, I'm there. So during this time, how important do you feel that it is to keep the stress levels down? Does it affect our fertility? Does it affect ovulation? What things have you noticed?
Big shout out to our sponsor, Evolving Humans, who are the pioneers for energy healing. This practice that I was taught 4 years ago has been studied by researchers all around the world to provide evidence of the physiological effects of energy healing. And I'm not just saying this because it's a promotion, but I have used this practice every single day for 4 years. And personally, I've noticed the most impact in my emotional state. This energy practice taught me how to feel energy in my body and observe the sensations. The technique involves you using your hand and connecting to the energy field within your body. And with this gentle, loving awareness that you bring to the table, everything is seen and lived. The whole being comes into alignment. During the birth of my daughter, I tore, and the discomfort that I was experiencing with this tear started to ease up dramatically when I would use this technique. In the show notes, you'll find the link to Evolving Humans so that you can explore this healing technique, which is available through a course that you can join today.
Yeah, no, the stress piece is huge. And, you know, I think the wording preconception, people get a little bit confused. They might think preconception means, oh, I'm actively trying to conceive. I look at preconception as before you are even ready to start actively trying to get pregnant, that is preconception. So keeping stress down is important for our menstrual cycle health all the time, but it's definitely important when you are entering that trying to conceive phase because there's so much like mindset work that needs to go into it. Everyone, I think, is fed this myth of like, oh, I have regular menstrual cycles, I'm going to get pregnant the first try. And that doesn't always happen. And then that can lead to more stress. So really working on that stress management piece in preconception is huge. Our body is very smart. And like I was saying earlier about we need energy to ovulate. If we don't have the energy to ovulate, the body isn't going to prioritize it. Same thing with stress. If the body perceives there's a threat happening, stress is a threat, ovulation and our reproductive health is not going to be the priority at that time. So managing the stress piece helps to have quality ovulation. And then if we don't have quality ovulation, we're not going to have good progesterone. Progesterone and cortisol, our stress hormone, they also compete. So stress really does impact the menstrual cycle, both in the first half and in the second half.
Wow. And it just makes me think, like, we have these mental stresses that comes up, you know, it might be a past memory, or it might be a desire that we, something that we think we need, and we're trying to move towards that. It might even be like the thought, oh, we're going to soon be trying to have a baby, like, and that comes into it. And then we also have like the outside world, a lot of the things like the pollution in the air, mm-hmm. and food and the water that we actually probably aren't conscious of really, but subconsciously, like, we're picking it up. And so it's interesting for me, because sometimes I think, what if this emotion that I'm having is not linked to what my mind has said it is, but it's literally just because I walked down the street and there was pollution in the air, and my body started to get like super in a yeah. state of stress, you know, like, and that for me is why I find meditation, like stillness meditation, so beautiful, because it does start to unravel it. When you lay down, this is for me anyway, if I lay down and I listen to the thought that I think it is the problem, which might be, I really need this, or I want to move here, or I want to experience this, and I lay for a little bit longer and I realize, oh, they're kind of just desires that I've made up, like, or somebody else has made up and put it in my brain. And then I lay a bit longer and it might be like, well, doesn't have to be that. And I just feel my body. And it's not like I need to know exactly what it is that's causing the stress. But in the stillness, there's like a softening in that higher self steps up and somehow shifts my whole like perception on what is happening. And so it's like I go in really into these meditations knowing that I'm probably not going to find the answer, but I'm probably going to feel a lot less stressed at the end of it.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing, right? Is like calming your nervous system, taking you out of that fight or flight feeling. So I think that adding in a meditation practice, adding in like a hypnosis practice, like all these things are so powerful to start in your preconception phase.
And I also heard once that, recently that most conceptions that actually don't make it through, like I think 35%, but some of them we don't even know about because it's just a late period and we haven't done tests, and then so that's really interesting, because the statistics can also be something that causes stress too, but actually there's so much that we don't know because we haven't been given like medical feedback, or like, you know, like we haven't been told that we're pregnant or something. So I don't know why that was comforting to me, that just knowing that, well, it's not that every conception will go through or that we'll even know about it either.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the number is like 1 in 3 third fertilized eggs ends up becoming that implanted embryo. Mm. So it is. It's like I've seen this a lot, and I have a theory about this. I don't know if there's any like data to back it up, but part of me is like, when we maybe have like a very bad period and we haven't changed anything, right? Like our nutrition is on point, like we managed our stress. Part of me is like, is that a worse period because maybe there was that fertilized egg that attempted to implant but didn't? And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. That's really interesting, because you could go down the whole path of like, what have I done wrong last month? Like, what has been the thing? But actually maybe it was just the pregnancy loss or the implantation, it's been released. Right. I actually felt like that this month. I've had so much pain during this period. Like I haven't experienced, and I've had like clots in that I'm like, and I look, and because this is in my mind right now, it's very interesting because I've never thought of it that way. I've always just been like, well, how can I adapt my lifestyle? Because I must have been doing something. And like both things, it's like both things at the same time are okay. And it gives you a greater insight. But I think just having that information is a bit lighter, because we're just so beautiful. So many layers to this human existence, right? But just getting the education is such, it helps the mind, for me anyway. For some people, it might blow their mind and be like, I can't listen to this. But then they have people like you who can give it them in like bite-sized pieces and be like, it's okay. Like, I'm with you. I'm working alongside you. And that is what humans would have had since the beginning of time, is like, other mothers around them who have been there and done that and say, hey, like, this is okay, or eat some of this. And now, like, for many of us. We just don't have that close network. So it's great that we can do it online or in person. Like you're doing now, you're offering this support, like you're being the community to help people's nervous system and to remind them of the things that their bodies already know. Like it's already known, right. But it's just like, here's the reminder because your mind's kind of forgot right now.
Exactly.
So are there any signs and symptoms that, you know, we should be aware of to go and when we see them or notice them, that we could have the option to go and receive further support, like from yourselves?
So again, this is super nuanced. I have found that if you are having very symptomatic cycles, there's something going on, right? Like we've normalized PMS so much in our society, but PMS is literally a hormonal imbalance. Like at the end of the day, like we should not really be having these extreme symptoms leading up to our period. We shouldn't really have too much period pain. Like one day of cramping is fine. If you're dealing with more than that, there's something going on. And the nice thing is a lot of that is just making some simple tweaks as far as nutrition and lifestyle support. This doesn't mean like, oh, I have to seek out fertility treatments. No. But when you can do these things to work on optimizing your cycle, that's going to be a great sign for preconception that your body is ready. You know, some other things to pay attention to if you are someone who does use the fertility awareness method and you are tracking your cycle, you're tracking your cervical mucus, you're tracking your ovulation, and you're getting signs that you're not ovulating every single cycle or that you have a short luteal phase, that's definitely a reason to seek out support because we need good quality cervical mucus, we need a good fertile window, and we need a good luteal phase to have a successful pregnancy. So that's kind of what I would think about, like symptomatic, and then looking at those cycle parameters. If they don't look optimal, trying to find some support to work on that.
And that's the beauty, isn't it, of our cycle? It just gives us so many messages if we know what to look for. And then that is, I think for most of our listeners, here, they're very aware of like following their menstrual cycle and what that means. Yet also, it is still a practice. Like I know if I'm traveling, I will not be following as much as I would be if I was settled. And it's the same if there's a new, you know, if we've got a kid or two kids or there's stuff happening. But that's why I feel like as a foundation, I really do try to have my menstrual cycle as one of my main practices so I can see what's going on. Like I told you, this month was a painful one for me, but that isn't usual for me. So if I had it the next month, then I would be wondering, okay, is something like, what is this that's happening? So I love just like you shared one of the workshops in the women's circle where you spoke all about fertility awareness and things that we can go off of, that we can look for in our body to say like things are a little bit off right now, or maybe we could get a little bit more insights from somebody else from an outside point of view. And yeah, I just feel as a foundation that is so incredible for this, the start of this journey to get to know our bodies. Yes. Because we're going to really get to know our body as we go through pregnancy and in childbirth and postpartum. So like we may as well start now, right?
Yes.
What about men? Is there anything that like men show that you would, because it's, I feel like the menstrual cycle is such a gift for women and it's like, yeah, look at the color of your blood, look at cervical mucus, look at la la la. But men, like what do you, is there anything that you can pull out of their, what they're showing through their lunch?
Not naturally, unfortunately. Like again, we have so many biomarkers that we could pay attention to. For men, there's really nothing for them to see. I mean, and again, I'm not an expert in male fertility, so I don't know as much about this, but like anything else, like we have our cycle as our biomarker. Men getting like middle of the night and morning erections, that's a good sign that like things are working for them. So if maybe they're not waking up with an erection, that could be a sign that something is going on from a hormonal standpoint. But I do find with men, and this was absolutely my story during preconception, we ended like we were trying. My cycle was looking decent, like good enough. We weren't getting pregnant. And so I had my husband go and get a semen analysis, and it turned out that some of his parameters were off. So I do think that it's not something that you have to do right off the bat, but it's very simple for a man to get a semen analysis. It's not an invasive procedure. So that's not a bad data point. And then just like men, there are things, just like women, there are things that men can do from a nutrition lifestyle standpoint to optimize their sperm health. So
well, that's super interesting, because then that's also a relief as well for the woman who has, I don't know, I feel like it's a societal thing for the women to take on this whole thing, you know, like the whole fertility, and it's like everything is the woman. But when it's not happening, like, you know, like your husband went in and got a semen sample on the tester, and then you're like, okay, so then we can all just relax a little bit. We get more of a picture of what is happening, and then we can do something. Like, we can choose then. We get more choices when you know what's actually happening in the body. Thank you for sharing that.
And I think what's nice too is, like, not that I wish this for anyone, but I almost feel like when the man does have to do a little bit of work on his sperm health, it's so much better because then you're doing everything together. And so that's why I just think preconception needs to be a two-person team, right? It's not just about how can the woman optimize her cycle, and she's the one who needs to be focusing on adding in these good foods and stress management and sleep health. The man should be doing the same thing too.
Yes, totally. It's like it takes two. It takes two, baby.
Exactly.
I feel like it could just like be a lonely will, just like the woman checking her cycle, just like making these meals. And he's just like, oh, thank you. But this is like, we're going to do this in another episode of like the conscious communication and having this as a time to actually, you know, get these skills to communicate, because postpartum time is really hard to start learning communication skills. It's like, wow. Because me and Leon, we only met like after 6 months I was pregnant. So we hadn't even practiced anything with communication. Yeah. We didn't even see a future together. And then Araya comes, and then kind of going through pregnancy and then postpartum, we're like, yeah, there's some conversations that we really need to have. And I had lost like all my brain. So I did not know how to communicate. And I'm just left thinking, how do I share what I feel, but I don't know what I feel?
Exactly.
So I'm really so happy that we got to have this conversation. And I would love for you to share where the listeners can find you and what you have to offer right now.
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is @your.period.coach. So periods in between the words. And right now I am focusing a lot on fertility and preconception in my coaching practice. So I have a couple master classes around preconception and preparing for pregnancy. And then I have a one-on-one coaching program called Confident Conception Coaching. It's an 8-week coaching program that really teaches women how to track their cycle using the fertility awareness method to understand if you're ovulating, understand if you have an optimal cycle for fertility. And then we dive into nutrition and lifestyle pieces to help optimize your cycle and give your body that best chance at conceiving.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Vicky. It's been amazing to sit and talk to you again.
Thank you so much. No, thank you so much for having me. I love chatting about all this. So it's been a pleasure.